So hello everyone, welcome to the Burnman tutorial. I'm sorry, we've gone back to slides. It's a little bit dumb. yeah, you might also be confused because last week I identified as a seismologist and now I'm giving a mineral physics tutorial. And so that is Cider's fault, specifically, because this is the code that we're going to look at. Was an output of a CIDR project, which we collaboratively worked on, and I was the seismologist on the project. So the original people, and I've only listed the people here. Is this working? Oh, the bright green has finally died. So the four people listed here came out of our CIDR group. It was actually not our entire CIDR group. We ended up eventually continuing work with a subset of the people. That might happen. Sometimes there's a bit of politics involved with that, but it's basically the people who have time to continue working on the project after that. And then there's more people who've gotten involved since, and I've put Bob Myhill in bold here because most of the commits in the last 2 or 3 years have been Bob's work to actually improve the mineral physics in this code a whole lot. So yeah, so where does the name Burnman come from is an often asked question. Not everyone in our group was good at saying the name Birch-Murnaghan, and so that merged into Burnman, and then that stuck as the name of the code. It's very sensible. We also have a logo. We have, since these are all the codes that are hosted by CIG, and it's been pointed out to us recently that our logo stands out a little bit, and we need to fix this. So that's on the to-do list. So where do we start from, actually? So our motivation back then for our CIDR project was to figure out the MGSI ratio of the lower mantle. So specifically, is the lower mantle also pyrolytic? Is it all well mixed? Or is it very different from the upper mantle? For example, it was just proposed in that year in 2012 that there was an entirely perovskitic lower mantle. And so that was a goal, that was a question. We never answered the question. But because the first thing we ran into was that we didn't have the tools to actually do it with. Back then, our equation of state tutorial was in an Excel sheet, and we wanted to forward model lots and lots of different compositional models and maybe also include uncertainties and stuff. And so we didn't have the tools available. And so we started to build Burnman, and we tried to make it friendly in a lot of ways to use for different disciplines, but I'll let you be the judge of that. So the simplest workflow, which we're kind of going to work with today, is that, and if you do want to get started, if you go to the virtual box, you have to log in as a mineral physicist today and go to my directory. But what we're going to do in the simplest thing is we're going to assume some composition, so in a set of minerals. So Burnman cannot do the Gibbs-free energy minimization, so you cannot put in just the composition and compute what phases it's in. You have to actually give it the phases that are present. And then you either have to assume an adiabat or put in a geotherm for your model. You can then, what we used to do is that you could pick the equation of state, and you can see in my first set that that's still the case. But really, what we have done since is we hard-coded the equation of state with the minerals, because the parameters for the minerals are usually fixed or extrapolated using an equation of state. So you don't actually have to specify the equation of state anymore. And then you want to average. There's different assumption of averaging schemes when you have different minerals present in your rocks. And then Burnman provides like different seismic models. Now we also have 3D seismic models, profiles of 3D seismic models, so you can directly compare to something else. And so in part of this exercise of when we started, was one thing, there are some disconnects between seismology and mineral physics. And so in the top there were the two equations for P wave velocity and S wave velocity, which I showed last week. So mu is G in mineral physics, the shear modulus, and kappa is the bulk modulus. And so as Lowell also pointed out, it's quite hard to measure the shear modulus at high pressures and high temperatures. So you can do a diamond anvil cell and press from all directions and get the high pressures, but then how are you going to shear it and actually measure the shears? So mineral physicists are actually quite bad with getting to the shear modulus. and it's much easier to measure density or volume as a function of pressure and the bulk modulus that comes out of that. So often they redefine this thing called the bulk sound velocity, which is basically for a shear modulus of zero, which is a thing that can be measured much more easily. And for seismologists, this will be defined by the P wave velocities and the S wave velocities. But that's a problem for us because, as we saw this morning, S wave velocities are much more coherent. They agree much better. Their variations are stronger, is one reason why it's easier to measure. And the P wave velocity models vary much more. They also have different resolutions, right? P wave and S waves have different wavelengths. So they've seen different things. And so if we combine these two models, we're going to get artifacts and stuff in our bulk sound velocity. So for us, shear wave velocity is much easier. For mineral physicists, bulk sound velocities is much easier. And I think that causes some disconnect there. So Burman, we made an open source toolkit, hopefully to compute the thermoelastic properties of Earth's compositions. And we now also have a little planetary building. There's not a lot of planetary properties in there yet, or not a lot of core properties in Burman yet. We tried to make it multidisciplinary. We made some choices, like everything needs to be in SI units, so anybody can understand it. And we tried to interface that you can use like different names for the shear modulus and stuff. But yeah, we'll see how friendly you guys find it. And we were hoping to improve the reproducibility of studies. One thing when we were working on this code is that we tried to test this to a lot of studies. And I won't name any studies, but we could not reproduce a lot of the studies trying to follow what they said they did in their code. We are looking for new developers or new energy, people who have ideas of what else should actually be in this code. Because for everyone who's been involved in this, this has always been a bit of a side project. And so sometimes energy tapers out and we need like new people who want to work on this. So if you do have ideas and want to get involved, do let me know or let Renee know. So I am going to stop talking and just let you guys open up the Python notebooks and work through it. So there are instructions online if you want to download the instructions for the tutorial and work through that. But they are basically two Python notebooks, and thanks to Dan to actually giving an introduction to Jupyter notebooks. So you can run the different blocks and it's commented. So the different steps are going to be modeling a simple composition for the lower amount of a simple and incorrect composition initially, and comparing that to PREM. And one thing you can do with that piece of code is actually try to make the composition more realistic. Then in step two, you'll actually be working with more realistic compositions and compare a pyrolytic versus a chondritic derived composition and see how well you can fit the P wave velocity, the shear wave velocity, and the density of the lower mantle, and actually see if you can fit all three at the same time. If you have done Burman tutorials before, which might be the case for some of you, you've probably done these first two steps, or if you've already played around with Burman, and things in that case, I would suggest skipping to step three, where it's a little bit of a new implementation where you can build your own planetary model, and you can predict seismic ray paths through the planet, and compare. It's initially set up to compare to Earth, but one thing you could also do is try to adapt that model to be a Mars composition and see if you can make predictions for Mars. So I'll be walking around and can try to fix codes if you break it at any point. Renee has also worked with Burman, so he can also try to help fix codes. Jess has worked with a bit, and also, yeah, she and probably a couple other people know more about Mars, so if you have questions how to get to a Mars composition. Are there any questions at this point? Is anybody running into trouble yet? It's always the stressful part of the tutorial. Yes?
Are the tutorial materials available anywhere other than on the virtual machine?
Yes, the tutorial material are available on my GitHub page. So if you do want to install it on your own code, it will, yeah. If you have basic Python installations, it should be fairly straightforward to run. Oh, it needs UpSpy. For those last step, you need UpSpy installed as well. Yes? It should be, yeah. Is it not running? Oh, you need to quit. Are you in Python? Can you do Control D? Oh, yeah.
If you are in the NoPhysics account, first thing you have to do is source, activate root. That way you can actually activate Anaconda.
Oh.
And that's Jupyter Lab or Jupyter Notebook.
Oh, okay.
So go to the comment line.
I don't think
that. In the order, source, activate root. If you look at the plus sign, you will get either root or base with parentheses in the beginning.
The source. You only have to do that. Well, you can try without. Root. And now, and so go to CD desktop, CD. And then, so you can do Jupyter Notebook. And then I think it's called step one. Let me ask Renee because he's been the virtual.
So the installation. So that installation failed.
Yes, there's a virtual box installation for you. So this is also where everyone
yeah,
finds
no,
it. Everyone
lives. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you need to be a Google 6 account. You need to log out and you need to be a Google 6 account. Oh, wait. We got a
good as well. And then repositories. There should be. Yeah. CIDR 2018.9. Yeah, so you can see the Jupyter Notebooks in one directory. Yeah, so it's easy. Do you have to use the card?
Okay. So it's not all you love, little box.
We should bring a couple here.
Yeah,
for
actually,
later
here instead of using them.
Yeah.
Somebody already done that. I just saw that.
They're very large. Yeah, so it's easily. Yeah. Because so these minerals are from the Styx River Lithgow Virtual Learning Database, which have been derived using this equation of state.
Okay.
So if you use a different equation of state, it changes your extrapolation.
Okay.
So if you've done one fitting the experimental values, if you want to reproduce fitting the experimental values, you have to use the same equation of state.
Okay.
So we've actually hard coded it now, so people don't actually have to set them.
No, you keep on going. If you use one of the other equations of state, does that mean it won't match this one, or...?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They are actually different. You'll get different results, so it won't get the original data.
And then they forget what they did.
From the paper. So one thing you can do with Burma is extrapolate on one equation of state, or set up with a different one. So with that, Cook can do as well, converting between equations of state. So if you want to combine things from different studies and have different equations of state, you have to convert one. So you can actually combine it into one. Yeah.
Where am I meant to get the virtual box, from?
That is a download from, Renee has a link to the CRG.
Is it all on CRG?
I have, so I think there's actually, if you go to the CIDR agenda, there is, but unfortunately you've got the USBs with actual virtual boxes and things to know. I think you might be solving it now, there might be a download somewhere as well.
Don't everyone download all at the same time?
Yeah,
because we did that 4 years ago and they got kind of mad as we repeatedly crashed the internet.
Not the time when we crashed it with the whole thing.
I think I'm going to die.
I also don't think that was our fault. But
it could have been us, or it could have been something else.
I'm holding it in case I need to do a message for everyone. If there's an issue with the tutorial, everyone's just working on the tutorial.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Okay, yeah. We usually just prefer that you have the mic clipped on.
Oh, keep it clipped on.
Yeah, because
then
audio...
talking to people, like, just solving their technical issues.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't want to, like, podcast. Should I use one of the other microphones that I walk around with?
I guess it's fine if you just like put it on when you're gonna say something to everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just want to check.
Yeah. It will. But you don't have to take it. Right? If you can just extrapolate, you'll see zero.
I think Thank you.
So a general apology, the pyrolytic composition in your instructions is slightly different from the composition that is in the script, but hopefully you have the tools to fix that if you want to. The other thing, if you want to have a better look at the mineral libraries that are included and with what kind of numbers you actually have to put in the in the minerals to set the solid solution compositions, we don't have a much better way than actually diving into the Python scripts with these libraries. So what you need to do is go back to the terminal, go into the directory, which is Burman's developer's version, go into Burman and Minerals, and if you look in there, you'll see different Python files for the different mineral libraries. And then you could open one of those in Spider, for example, and see what minerals are implemented if you want to, for example, include calcium perovskite or something. Are there any questions about that? Yes, Dan. Yes. Yep, yeah, that's another option, which is quite friendly to look at. So if you go, if you type GitHub Burman, it should come up, and you can look at all the code bits in there. So Burman does not have a graphical user interface, so you do have to script, but.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we're nearing coffee time. Did anyone find a lower amount of composition that fit very well and was maybe semi-realistic? Nobody wants to put in. Anyone want to show a Mars model? You're working on a Mars model? Well, you're welcome to. This was a short tutorial, so if you do play around with it later, happy to answer questions, or if you think Burma might be useful in one of your projects, just come over and discuss and we can see what it can be used for. Any questions at the very end? Well, the Zog is not a totally realistic composition. For one, there's like no light elements in the inner core. Also, the transition zone is pretty simplified. There's no crust. So yeah, maybe you can get it closer with a better model. No crust is very convenient. So, I mean, there's a number of studies. So we actually have a library that we need to submit to Burman. So that is actually in there with different people's studies for different light elements. Usually they have like one light element at a time. There's not like a mixing thing available. Yeah, Jess has it. Yeah, and so you might have seen in Zog, in Planet Zog, the outer core is this epoch. Epoch is not actually any experimentally derived. This was the study I referred to in my lecture, where we derived equation of state parameters for the outer core using normal modes. So it's actually a seismically observed equation of state for the outer core.